Welcome to Saddle Up Live, a transformative podcast tailored for women aged 40 and beyond, where courage, God's grace, and a touch of sass are the driving forces behind conquering life's challenges. Join me, Lisa Koski, as I take you on a captivating ride through the multifaceted aspects of womanhood in this vibrant stage of life. We are covering everything from my journey through breast cancer, the intricacies of marriage and the joys of motherhood, to the exciting adventures of grandparenting. In each episode, we saddle up for candid conversations about God, health, relationships, family dynamics, and the beautiful chaos that comes along the way. But here's the twist. Saddle Up Live goes beyond navigating the highs and lows of life. It's a platform dedicated to sharing what we have learned along the way. I want to help women thrive through it all. Together, we'll uncover actionable strategies for personal and professional development, providing you with the tools and inspiration needed to blaze new trails and seize every opportunity that comes your way. Moreover, we are committed to helping you suffer less and live more fully. Through our discussions on God, health, wellness, and mindfulness, we explore practical techniques for managing stress, cultivating resilience, and embracing a holistic approach to self-care. So whether you're looking for practical advice, heartfelt stories, or simply a supportive community of like-minded women, saddle up and join us on this exhilarating ride. Because at Saddle Up Live, we believe every woman deserves to thrive, flourish, and live her best life, no matter her age or stage. Welcome, listeners. I'm so happy that you're here today. And I'm feeling blessed. I'm so fortunate. I've got my coach Tracy here with us. And listeners, she's such a peach. She's kind of helping me out through this, going through some things right now. And she's helping me. We're going to do a series on Happier. It's a book that we both read. Well, she read all of it. I didn't. So she'll carry us through. But we're going to talk about how to be happier. And we're going to talk more about happiness. And I think it's perfect timing for me with what I'm going through. And I'm going to talk about this in this particular session, but I'm not going to really talk about the chemo anymore going through this. But here's the really good thing is I'm doing really, really well. And last week they just kind of did the bare. I didn't have any steroids. I didn't have anything. I still have my hair, which I mean, it doesn't look real pretty. I can't fix it and it gets kind of dry, but it makes me really happy and I feel like a human being. So I'm hoping that in the future, my plan is I'm going to do a little bit of work for my divorce clients and I'm going to put away some money so that I can help women keep their hair if they can't afford the cold cap machine that I've had the opportunity to use. So I'll probably talk more about that in the future, but I'm feeling great. And I was telling Tracy that I'd kind of update her. I had a call with the nurse practitioner. You guys, I feel so good. I almost don't feel like I'm going through chemo. It's that bizarro. And I know I don't have what they call the red devil, and there are some chemos that are harder. But I do want to say the worst part of chemo is the fear going into it. You're so scared to death. And now being here, it's not that bad. And I'm taking care of Lisa. I get a little bit tired. And she did tell me, which is why I'm going to be getting all my podcasts up and running, that the last month I'm going to be really tired. But she said, I'm not going to have nothing else is going to pop up that hasn't already shown face, which is a blessing. I can't believe it's so many prayers answered for me. And I just have to tell the audience that. And then, so I probably will really jump into recording more of these Saddle Up Lives with, I've got people lining up already and that'll start in August. So then I'll be all done and I'll almost be done with treatment because I'll be kicking in that radiation because I had the lumpectomy. You always have to do radiation. So I'll have that after chemo. And so, you know, we're heading down the race path. We're getting there and the journey is going well. But the reason that I listened to a Mel Robbins podcast and she had this, his name is the author of the book that Tracy and I are going to talk about. Tracy, you might know how to say his name better. Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar. And he talks about happiness, what it is, how to be happier every day. And I listened to that and I wasn't very happy when I listened to it. And I thought, wow, what a better spot for me to go to right now as I look at chemo. Like, how can I make this journey happier? And so you don't have to be going through chemo to be wanting to be happier. But, and so Tracy was such a, you know, like I said, she's a little peach. She's such a dear friend and willing to give her time, read the book in a week. And I was taking naps, probably not reading the book. But we're going to start today with how can I be happy now and in the future? And we're going to talk about, I've got some notes. There's like four types of living that we do, kind of. I call it four types of living. So Tracy, that was a lot, but welcome. Yeah. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. And thank you for sharing your story, what it is that you have learned. I mean, you're learning so much, and often fear is derived from the unknown, right? So you're sharing what it is that you know, and knowledge is power. So that is so helpful to all of us as your audience, as your cheerleaders, to have that knowledge. And it really does temper the fear. And I think you, more than anybody, can relate to that. When you don't know what to expect, it can be really, really scary. And so you've gotten off that call with the doctors and the nurses, and they are kind of giving you an expectation of the future. And, you know, it looks so good because there isn't really anything that you have to be worried about around, you know, the next corner. They're reassuring you that, you know, you've pretty much experienced it all. You might get, you know, more tired. You might experience more of what you've already experienced, but you're not going to be surprised. This is it. And so, I just, you know, I'm grateful that you're willing to share your story and what it is that you know, because it helps us as the people who are cheering you on. It helps with the fear that we experience too, right? You've shared that knowledge with us. So I appreciate that.
Okay. So now I can't help to ask this before we jump into the happy topic. I couldn't help but think for that person. So I feel better because I'm getting some answers. So let's go back to before I started chemo. What can we do through coaching, through self-coaching? And people, call Tracy, go to Self-Made You if you need some coaching, because it is so helpful. But what can we do if we're in that spot where we don't really know what's coming and we're scared like I was? And I know, you know, I always tell you, I prayed, and that has been so key to me. So I would wish that for everyone, that they could know that what I know. But what else can I do? Like I always say, I take Jesus' hand and bring him along with me when I'm doing my self-coaching. Mm-hmm. What can people do? Like, say I didn't really know what was coming around the corner with, what could they do to feel a little more assured? Because it is scary.
Yeah. So when you're focused on what it is that you don't know, right, the fear remains.
Right.
So you kind of actually look at the other side of the coin and you ask yourself, what is it that I do know? And that's what you did. You have a strong faith and you knew that God was always right next to you. You were able to decide when you were going to lean in and bring him along with you. And for you, it's probably, you know, an ongoing
constantly.
But you know that. So you didn't sit and fixate on what it is that you didn't know. You chose to focus on what it is that you do know. And that can be a hard realization to come by on your own. That's why coaching can be so incredibly helpful, because when you are emotional, you know, when you're experiencing those unwanted emotions, intellect is often lower. Emotions are high, intellect is lower. So it's hard to come up with, okay, well, I know I'm scared. What is it that I need to be doing or not doing? It's like those answers don't come easy. And so you often want to tap into somebody or like, or a tool, something that can help prompt you to think differently, to like temper those emotions so that the intellect has a chance to rise. Yeah. And all it is really shifting your focus off of what it is that you don't know so that you can temper that fear and focus on what it is that you do know. And it doesn't even have to be around that circumstance. It could be what is it that you know that actually generates a feeling that you want. Like,
yep.
So you always start with, I train my clients, start with a decision around how it is that you want to be feeling. Start there. Ideally, right now or in the next hour, how do you want to be feeling? And then you kind of reverse architect it.
Yep.
What is it that I believe that generates that feeling?
And the listeners can go back and listen. The first four episodes talk all about that. But what I want to say is, even though I kind of wasn't doing my planner and all that work, I can tell that I've been coached. Because do you know what I kept holding on to? I kept holding on. And then there was a little bit of gratitude mixed in there. I mean, I was scared. And then I would focus on, okay, but this is early detection. This mm-hmm. was really small.
All
this was not in my lymph nodes. I kept, those were the things I focused on. So I knew that the outcome is good. And so, I mean, I guess I was doing the coaching, even though I didn't know it. And I think that's one of the benefits of getting this in your, I mean, I am a coach. I've been trained by you and I get to experience what this is really like to go through something really scary.
Yeah.
So that, what a blessing that is. So thank you. We just took a ton of time talking about that. So we might not be able in this session to be able to talk about all the things about how can I be happy in the future. But I do want to talk about the four ways we live and jump in. I have some things typed out, but what was helpful for me was to hear like how you can live like you're in a rat race, mm-hmm. like you're doing everything right now so that you can thinking you're going to have a brighter future. And so think to times when you've done this, like I did it through law school. When I'm done with law school, then I'll be happy. When I'm done with this, when I'm done with chemo, then I'll be happy. Then right. I'll be, you know, so that's the one type of living. So if the listeners can think about that, and I'm not going to say that's the happiest, right? That's, but each of them too, what the author says in the book, each of them are necessary at certain times for certain reasons, right?
Yeah.
But you want, there's one that in particular that you want to stay in. So that's the rat race one. And you, and the next one I have is hedonism. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
You seek pleasure only and avoid pain.
Right.
And so you don't have any care about the future and all you want is to stay away from pain and feel pleasure because you think that's going to make you happy.
Yeah. Those are the people that are all about immediate gratification.
Yes.
They have no concept of delayed gratification, which often can lead to that rat race, which is very sacrificial, where you're sacrificing like present pleasure for future benefits. So it's like, you know, they're both, as you can see, they're both extremes. And so you want to be mindful of those extremes.
Well, and I can use, here's an example. When I do chemo, I put these ice mitts on my hands and feet. I'm a freeze baby. And for 15 minutes before and the hour during chemo, I am sitting with a cold cap, making my head cold with all, that was why I shook, by the way, we never talked about that. I didn't shake the last time. I got all warm as I could. Yeah. I forgot to mention that, listeners. If you heard Tracy and I talking, I got the shakes and I wanted to not get the shakes. And I just went, well, I'm probably going to get the shakes. And I went in and I did do the warm blanket and I didn't shake, but when I go in, I put these ice things on my hands and my feet because it's supposed to keep you from getting any kind of neuropathy. Yep. And it's, my husband was interested till he would look around and it's like, no one else is doing this. And it's so surprising to me. And of course there was no, like no studies done because who's going to cover ice, right? It's free. But I, when I talked to the nurse today, she said it does make a huge difference and it's, but it's awful. I mean, I hate going to chemo because I'm like, are you sure I'm not getting frostbitten? There is ice packed on me and they burn and they sting. And you just sit there and you're like, well, there's no way I can watch a, you know, I got these big mitts. I can't watch anything. I can't do anything. And I would never not do it. I would never not do it because I am willing. This is one time where I'm going to feel that pain for the future, but not everybody is like that. And I'm not better than anyone else. It's just the way God made me.
Yeah.
But I think that's a really good example of it.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
So, all right. I can't say this one. Is it Nihilism?
Yeah, Nihilism.
Oh, is there an L?
Yeah.
I had an H. I spelled it wrong. That's why it's underlined in red on my notes. Nihilism. Yeah. Okay.
So that's when you're lacking the present and the future pleasure or meaning. And what that really results in is despair.
Yep.
And so that is another way that it's a kind of a tendency that people have and almost live their life by. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention about that? Did you have any?
No, I was just going to say you like lose your lust for life. And yeah. I was there for a period. And I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to feel joy again.
Yeah.
You know, I was, and I just, my heart goes out to people who feel that way for a lot longer because I'm going through something really hard, but it's an awful place to be.
Yeah.
It's awful. You're just like stuck and you're kind of, you give up.
Yeah.
You're kind of chained to the past. I mean, it's just, it's not a good place.
Right.
But I feel like even it's a gift in my situation, in a weird way, it's a gift because I was able to feel that and really think through and learn a lot of things.
Right. And so if you just really kind of think of life, like kind of if you step back and look at your life, you realize that you experience life through your feelings. And so to have like the abundance of experience, it would require you to have contrast, to have, you know, the contrast to happiness. So that it makes happiness even possible. You even know when you're experiencing happiness. You wouldn't know that if you didn't have the experience of, you know, being without it.
Right.
And so, you know, if you start to look at your life as if you are kind of sifting and sorting through all of the experiences that actually make like desires possible, because it's only through an unwanted experience or an enjoyable experience that you decide what it is that you do want. It might not even be a conscious decision, but it's kind of this subconscious, you know, I don't like this, which creates a desire, which like gives you momentum. It like propels you through life are these desires, but you wouldn't have them if you didn't have the unwanted experiences. So
right. And it's interesting too. Oh, sorry. And I think we'll get more into this, but the author talks about how the happiest people are the ones who feel all the array of emotions, not just, you think they're always happy, but they're not. And I'm looking at the time and we were going to try to have these be 15 minutes, each of these. So I'm going to be quick. I'm going to end with, and we're going to talk more about this next week. But the last place, and this is the place that you really want to be most of the time, is happy now, and it leads to happy in the future. And I'm just going to say that that makes me think of going on a walk or eating a really yummy, healthy hamburger, you know, grass-fed beef on, maybe not on a bun, and maybe some, you know, fries that are made in avocado oil or... That makes me, because it's like healthy and it helps me in the future. Do you want to say anything quick about that? Or should we just?
Yeah. I would just say happiness is a combination of pleasure and meaning. Like true yes. happiness involves both short-term pleasure and long-term purpose.
Amen.
Does that make sense? So yeah, yes. if you can find yourself in that place where you are enjoying this like immediate gratification, but you also have an awareness of the meaning behind it, that it is meaningful or it's contributing to your purpose. Most people, like if you think of Maslow's hierarchy, the very tippy top is self-actualization. It's because you have a purpose. It's often impacting other people's lives. And that is what yes. really propels us. But that's not something that you can look at in the here and now and be like, you know, checking a box on.
Right.
It's more of a long-term yes. purpose and meaning. So
yes,
yeah, that's how I would define happiness.
All right. So we're going to, when we dive back in, we're going to kind of talk about how we can be happy now and in the future and how happiness leads to success in our next week's episode. So Tracy, thank you for helping me out. I love you. Thanks for being here. See you later, listeners.
Thank you for tuning in to another empowering episode of Saddle Up Live. As we conclude this exhilarating journey together, don't forget to subscribe, share your thoughts, and become a valued member of our vibrant community. Because, as always, every woman deserves to thrive, flourish, and live her best life. Until the next time, saddle up and keep conquering those trails.